This is Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. We begin with news breaking this afternoon. U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts Andrew Lelling is charging a state judge and a court officer with obstruction of justice. They allegedly helped the man slip out the back door of a courthouse to avoid detention by U.S. immigration authorities. The judge, Shelley M. Richmond Joseph, has been suspended without pay, effective immediately, by the state's Supreme Judicial Court. Here's U.S. Attorney Lelling at a news conference this afternoon.
This case is not about immigration. It is about the rule of law. The allegations in today's indictment involve the intentional interference with federal officers in the course of their duties. That is a crime.
In a statement, Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey calls the indictment a, quote, radical and politically motivated attack, and says she was, quote, deeply disappointed by U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling's misuse of prosecutorial resources and the chilling effect his actions will have, end quote. WBUR reporter Shannon Dooling was at U.S. Attorney Lelling's news conference this afternoon, and she joins us now from the federal courthouse in Boston. Shannon, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Callum.
Shannon, could you begin with just a little bit of the context here? Remind us what happened in this episode that these obstruction charges are based on.
Sure. So this all stems from a 2018 incident when an undocumented immigrant was in Newton District Court facing a drug possession charge. And also, it was believed he had a fugitive warrant out for his arrest from the state of Pennsylvania. So I say it was believed that he had a fugitive warrant out because here's where things get a little confusing. Immigration officials insisted that this was the same person that was wanted in Pennsylvania. The defense attorney and even the ADA in the case weren't as convinced that they had the right person, that the identity of the man who was there facing drug possession charges was also the same identity of the person who was wanted on a fugitive warrant out of Pennsylvania. So it gets a little confusing there. But essentially what happened is in a sidebar conversation, Judge Shelley Joseph is recorded commenting on these sort of questions about identity. And she's also recorded as having, you know, recognized that ICE was present at the courthouse and ready to take this man into custody, that they had a federal, what's called an ICE detainer, a warrant. And so basically what Lelling in this indictment is alleging is that what happened next was a pure effort to help this man dodge arrest by ICE that day. And by letting him essentially slip out a back door of the Newton court that day with the help of this other person who's named the court officer you mentioned, there were several counts of obstruction brought today. So it's a bit of a movie script type of narrative here, but that's the basic context.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, right? There's the possible case of mistaken identity. There's the presence of an ICE official at a state courthouse and whether that's appropriate. There's the possible obstruction. I mean, what did U.S. Attorney Lelling say about all of this today at this new conference?
Well, he made it really clear. I mean, we heard in one of those pieces of tape from the press conference, he did make it really clear that, you know, this is not about immigration, that this is about upholding the rule of law. He said that, you know, no one in this state is above the rule of law, even people who are powerful and in positions of power like judges. You know, he said, you know, this is we're doing this to show that the public can be confident in the fact that they'll get a fair shake at things. He made it really clear that this he wanted to it was clear from the get-go, Callum, that he wanted to separate the issue of immigration from the issue of what happened that day in the district court. And he said he's been hearing a lot of rumors running around in terms of people's opinions on his office's decision to dive into this investigation. Let's hear a little more from Lelling.
From certain quarters, I have heard the occasional gasp of dismay or outrage at the notion of holding a judge accountable for violating federal law. But if the law is not applied equally, it cannot credibly be applied to anyone.
So this is a big deal. It's not very often that a sitting judge is indicted on charges of this nature by a U.S. attorney, right? And I've heard from several advocates already that they are fearful, immigration advocates, that they are fearful that this will have more of a chilling effect, that people will be even more undocumented immigrants will be even more fearful of showing up to courthouses for scheduled court dates.
All right. WBUR's Shannon Dooling, stand by, if you will, at the federal courthouse. Thank you for that report. But I want to bring in also former federal judge Nancy Gertner, who is a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School and WBUR's senior legal analyst. Judge Gertner, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be here.
So we had you and Shannon on this program some months ago when the Boston Globe first reported late last year that a grand jury was investigating Judge Joseph's actions. So what's your initial reaction today, hearing that U.S. Attorney Lelling is bringing charges in this case?
I think it's outrageous. The issue of what to do about ICE's presence in courthouses is a fraught issue as to which there was much discussion, which is how much to cooperate. The rules say cooperate, but how much to cooperate and when does cooperation essentially deprive illegal, undocumented people of access to the courts? If they know that they are obliged to be there, and if they're there, they're going to be snarfed up by ICE, then that affects access to justice throughout the courts. So this is a contested issue. And you have a judge who, no question, believed that she was not doing anything wrong. The standard for obstruction of justice, and I'm reading this from the Mueller report of all places, is that
how timely.
Right, that you have to willfully, with general knowledge of the illegality of your conduct, engage in this. The Mueller report was saying, hey, Donald Jr. didn't understand that, you know, talking to the Russians was a problem. The notion that Judge Joseph for a moment thought that she was obstructing justice is preposterous. I think that what you have here, there were all sorts of ways that the U.S. attorney could have addressed this problem. There could have been an injunction. There could have been a civil proceeding. There could have been a discussion between the federal and state authorities. Judges are rule followers. If it had been clear that the line was drawn here that you shouldn't do this, there's no question it would have been over. To use the criminal process this way is like using a thermonuclear device to kill a gnat. I mean, it's outrageous, and the implications are even worse. Right?
But wouldn't U.S. Attorney Lelling, though, perhaps come back and say, well, you know, but maybe the bar, if anything, should be a little bit higher for a judge? She should know better. I mean, in other words, we might give the benefit of the doubt on an obstruction question to a private citizen like Donald Jr., but a judge should surely know.
Right, but you don't use the federal criminal indictment in order to keep a judge in line. If there was an issue here, there was an internal disciplinary proceeding to use against the judge. If she did anything wrong, and I'm not persuaded she did anything criminally wrong. But the implications of the federal government swooping in to indict a state court judge because of something that she did on the bench is really extraordinary. And to say that this is not about immigration is absurd. It is obviously about immigration, because if this was a mistake, at best it was a mistake, you never would have indicted for a mistake. And at best, that is all this was at a time. By the way, not only was the question of access to the courts up in the ICE's access to the court up in the air, but only months before this episode, the SJC ruled on the legality of a civil detainer, ICE civil detainer, holding that state officials could not arrest based on an ICE civil detainer. So at best, this was a confusing situation. And to swoop in like this and indict a sitting state judge, really, I can't even begin to tell you how outrageous that is and has implications. State judges across the state now have to worry about the U.S. attorney coming to their door. Sanctuary churches now have to worry about that. Of course, this is about immigration. If it had been in any other setting, Lelling would not have bothered.
So implications for the judges. Shannon Dooling, let me ask you about implications for immigrants, because I'm wondering, and you sort of touched on this
right.
a moment ago, but I imagine some of the concern might be that immigrants might feel less inclined to be cooperative in legal proceedings if they're worried that there may be, you know, ICE sitting in the gallery waiting to pick them up.
I mean, that's exactly it, right? It's a question of, I mean, there are people I've been told by immigration attorneys, by immigrant advocates. There are some people that are afraid to show up for a hearing about a restraining order or afraid to, you know, because they may not have documentation in the country and they're afraid that they'll be swept up at ICE, so they don't want to make charges. It has had a very I would say tangible chilling effect here in Massachusetts and across the country for certain. Two things to Nancy's points, though. I did ask the attorney, U.S. Attorney Lelling, about that Lund decision, Nancy, and said, you know, how did this SJC decision factor into your investigation, if at all? Did they? What was the interplay there? And he was rather dismissive, to be honest. He said, you know, two totally different you know, topics of conversation here. I don't really see how one is relevant for the other. And then the second question, and to another point you made, Nancy, that I asked was, you know, how can this not be? He said this isn't about immigration, and yet he also said that Homeland Security Investigations, which is a branch of the Department of Homeland Security, led the investigation here. And so I found that to be sort of counterintuitive as well, and a bit puzzling that if this has nothing to do with immigration, why was HSI leading the investigation? And to that point, Lelling said that they really just wanted – his office wanted as many good investigators on this as they could get, and so they tapped them.
Go ahead, Nancy.
But here's a connection with the Lund decision. So the Lund decision says that state authorities cannot – be essentially deputized by the feds to arrest people on a civil ICE detainer. They can't be used in that way. And so the question becomes, in what way can the what's the relationship between federal-state cooperation in courthouses? And I think that that was an open question at the time that Judge Joseph did what she did. And we don't indict and criminally charge someone over open questions. So the two are related in the sense that you had to litigate the authority of the court officer to enforce an ICE detainer. And in addition, there were questions about what's the nature of cooperation between the state authorities and the feds in courthouses. It was an open question and a contested area, and this is not where you swoop in with criminal charges.
Let me ask you, Judge Kirtner, though, about one other point in the case, which is that we know that Judge Joseph shut off the courtroom recorder for roughly a minute. Not supposed to do that, but is this just a matter of, I mean, okay, you should get slapped with a parking ticket or the equivalent for that, but you shouldn't be indicted.
Well, that's right. I mean, there are so many steps between what she did and the criminal indictment. So there's a disciplinary proceeding. Gee, Judge Joseph, you did something wrong with respect to that. There are civil proceedings. I would, you know, to go into court to enjoin judges from not doing these kinds of things in court. There's a memorandum of understanding between the state court and the federal court. There were so many steps. So to do this in the way that he has done it is a shot across the bow to every state judge in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Everyone should be outraged. You don't do things this way.
Shannon, it strikes me, though, that these shades of gray are part of what makes this case so interesting and so complicated, right? Because we do have a case where Judge Joseph shut off the recorder. And so there was something she did that was against protocol at a minimum. And then you mentioned earlier that the immigrant in this case was picked up on questionable pretenses because police ran his plate and thought that he was someone wanted for a drunk driving incident in another state. Turns out maybe he wasn't that person. And yet when they pulled him over, Shannon, police say they found drugs in the cars. So it's a very fraught case, isn't it?
It is, like everything in immigration, in the world of immigration law. There are many, many different narratives, not narratives, many different avenues in terms of the legal ramifications for things when it comes to immigration law. And, you know, I think that what this case really reflects from the perspective of immigration proceedings, from the perspective of having covered immigration for the last few years, is that ICE agent was waiting at the courthouse. And that ICE agent – basically it comes back to the question of the presence of ICE agents in courthouses. And so, you know, when we talk about the Lund decision, which Nancy did a great job of recapping, which basically just says, you know, court officials or Massachusetts officials can't hold someone based solely on an ICE detainer. This defendant was free to go that day. So he was going to be let go. The court was not going to hold him any longer just so that ICE could detain him, which would have been a very blatant violation of even the most simplistic reading of Lunn. But they knew, the judge, the defense attorney, and the ADA knew that an ICE agent was waiting to pick this person up. And they knew because the ICE agent identified themselves. And so I think that this really goes back to this question of how is justice served best to all of the Commonwealth's residents when people who are fearful of running into a scenario like this are not going to show up to court for criminal charges or
right.
civil charges for that matter.
The other thing, Shannon, is that this judge had a good faith belief that the authorities had the wrong person. The prosecutor
exactly.
agreed with that. And if she had a good faith belief that if swept up into the ICE system, it would take months, if not years, for him to disentangle himself. You don't put good faith and criminal charges in the same sentence. I mean, even if she did something wrong, this was the moment that Andrew Lilling ought to have declined to go to thermonuclear war. I mean, because of its implications for state-federal relations, ICE, all of that. Now, this is really outrageous.
Could she have handled it a little bit differently, though, Judge Kirtner? I understand that you've had some experience with
yes.
a possible case of mistaken identity in your courtroom.
Yes.
How did you handle it?
Well, I mean, what I did, and I suppose she could have done this, is that I was about to release someone. When the government said that the person couldn't be released, we had to wait for ICE to come because he wasn't an American citizen. The defendant kept on saying, I am an American citizen. Government said, the computer shows you're not. I basically, maybe this was illegal, Mr. Lilling, I basically told everyone that they couldn't leave the courthouse at all, the U.S. attorney, until this was clarified, precisely because of the sense that ICE detention was a black hole and that it had to be clarified before he went into it. By 4 o'clock that afternoon, as it turns out, the man was an American citizen. The federal authorities had seized his passport, and the computer was wrong.
Wow.
So, you know, this is not an illegitimate concern. Even if improperly done, it was certainly a good faith concern that she had, and certainly not the subject of criminal charges.
I think worth noting, too, that she'd only been on the bench, I think, for 6 months at
right.
the time, so perhaps didn't have the experience that you had
right.
to have the wherewithal to know exactly how to handle it. Shannon, in the moments that we have left, what are we looking for next? I mean, is this thing actually going to go to trial?
Well, we should know more later this afternoon at around 4:15, both Joseph and McGregor are scheduled to make initial appearances here in Boston Federal Court. So be on the lookout for Twitter, and we'll have some more news on this tomorrow morning. So we'll see.
All right. We'll be following you at Shannon Dooling, WBUR immigration reporter. Thanks for your time, as always.
Thank you.
And Nancy Gertner, retired federal judge, senior lecturer at Harvard Law School, and WBUR's senior legal analyst. Judge Gertner, thanks for your time.
Thank you.